Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Enjoy a tall, cool dude.
I grew up like most kids, worried I couldn't bench two plates, that I wouldn't fit in, that I wouldn't find love. Then I discovered partying, and suddenly all those worries went to the wayside. I didn't need love. I had keg stands. I discovered I was great at raging, and it revealed wonderful things about myself. I could relate to bros, regardless of what kind of bro they were. I could be at a party and moon people, and everyone would laugh, you know, be witty. Or I could play beer pong and compete with real integrity. In short, I fulfilled my potential.
The Nightcap on WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I'm laughing here because, you know, last night, it was just me. I had never had to do this before. Ryan Gates used to have to do this once in a while where he would have to sit in the boardroom, behind the board, produce and host at the same time, just him, looking through the glass in an empty room. And yesterday I had to do that for the first time, and today it's the complete 180. There's four of us. Like, there is four of us here right now. That's a lot.
We might have to do Mike Jafari Tuesdays instead.
We might have to. In fact, that would have been a good idea. Maybe I should have
just text me.
Proposed that. It's too late now, Mike. It's 24 hours after the fact. In the future, I'll keep that in mind. That's Mike Jafari. It's a Mike Jafari Wednesday here on the Nightcap on WGR. I'm Jody Biasi, Kyle Powell, and Victor Powell. The Powells hanging out as well. 803-0550 is the phone number. We're going to hear from Jason Bottrell in this hour at 7:30. Next hour, we'll hear from a couple prospects. I don't even know if you can call them prospects because they're both probably going to be on the team. Brendan Gooley and Rasmus Dahlin. We'll also hear in the second hour from Sabres GM, assistant GM, Steve Greeley. A lot of Sabre sound coming at you tonight. A lot of Sabre conversation coming at you tonight. I've got thoughts on this trade from today, Connor Sheary, and why can't I remember?
Matty Hunwick.
Thank you. Why couldn't I remember who Matt Hunwick is? He's traded to the Sabres as well. Kind of a cap dump thing. Fourth round pick goes back to Pittsburgh. Condition on Sheary scoring 20 goals or 40 points, or the Sabres trading Hunwick, and then it would become a third-round pick. And I think the top six is, you know, taking a little bit of shape. It's a little bit of shape because I don't think Ryan O'Reilly's here. Jeremy's got a lot on the Blues and there being a trade possibly already in place with the Sabres and another team, and he suggests that it is the Blues on Twitter. So, and then there's the Jeremy Rutherford stuff. He replies to our own Brayton Wilson that's just what he's being told after he reports that the Blues don't have a deal in place right now. That could just be St. Louis. Doug Armstrong, their GM, going to the reporter and saying, hey, we see this stuff. Not saying this to him, but he's in his thought, in his mind, he's thinking, this stuff's out there. I'm going to put something to counteract it. So he goes to the reporter and he says, hey, this is what's happening right now. There's nothing going on. So that report's false. And then that gets put out there. That's what the Blues would probably want out there. I think it's also interesting that Alex Nylander is not at development camp today. They say it's an injury. I guess I should be inclined to believe them. But the another part of my mind goes to, well, if he was a part of a deal that's already in place, this probably is exactly what would be happening with him.
Risk any injuries.
Yep,
keep a little bit of quiet about it.
Wouldn't be on the ice. There would be some mysterious thing going on with him that's causing him not to be on the ice. And this is what would be happening to me if Alex Nylander was in a potential trade. So that makes me question it a little bit as well. Also, I'm going to development camp on Saturday. I'd like to see him. I mean, I've seen him at two development camps now. I haven't been overly impressed. I would have liked to have the opportunity to see Alex Nylander on the ice once again against other young players and see if he really does stand out amongst the others. But it doesn't sound like we're going to get that opportunity. There's free agency stuff from today. I hadn't seen this until really the last half hour. Darren Dreger on the Instigators this morning suggesting the Sabres could be in on James Van Riemsdyk and also Paul Stastny if they trade Ryan O'Reilly. The Stastny part of that makes more sense to me because Van Riemsdyk is going to get a lot of money. The report yesterday is that there's at least 12 teams in on him, at least, which means there probably are more. And if you're in a bidding war against half the league, do I really want to spend $7 million a year on James Van Riemsdyk, especially if I'm just getting rid of $7 million on a younger player in Ryan O'Reilly, who's only 27, Van Riemsdyk's 29. Stastny makes a little more sense. While I don't like the idea of Jason Botterill going out and paying whatever it would cost to get Stastny, he's going to get some big money because he's the next best center in free agency this year. He played really well for Winnipeg, with them going deep into the playoffs to the conference finals. He's going to probably command a long-term deal with a solid cap number. It's not going to be crazy. Maybe it wouldn't be the $7.5 million that Van Riemsdyk might get, but are we ready to pay a center here that is in his 30s? I want to say, what is he, 32. Yeah, he'll be 33 next season. Do we really want to pay that guy like a five-year deal worth $5-6 million, somewhere in that range? I don't think that's a very smart idea. And it does make a little more sense to me, though, because if you do trade Ryan O'Reilly, and I've talked about this before, do you want to just throw Casey Mittelstadt right into the fire? Do you ever see those, I guess there's some thing out there where you teach kids to swim, you just throw them in.
Yeah.
You just throw them in the pool. That would be like what they would be doing with Mittelstadt. He might swim. In fact, he could be like an Olympic swimmer, like the way this kid's talent is. You see that video of him at development camp today? I mean, the guy's hands, Casey Mittelstadt I'm talking about here, his hands are magical. I mean, he's making quick dekes through guys and chipping a backhand top shelf. It just looks effortless when he's handling the puck. And I think that's going to make him one of my favorite players because I love those players. Like Datsyuk was my favorite player that wasn't a Sabre. Loved Danny Briere, Finn Ageinoff, although he was more speed with the legs than speed with the hands. And Tim Connolly, even. I always defended him because I liked the dude could stick handle. And that's, like, I'm entertained watching elite stick handlers. And Mittelstadt is that. But do you want him to go right into that role as a number two center right away? And this is assuming they were to trade Ryan O'Reilly. To me, Paul Stastny is not a great idea. I think you could find another guy that's cheaper because at some point, Mittelstadt is going to be ready for that number two center role. He was the number one ranked prospect by Hockey News last year of guys drafted. He would project as a number one center on other teams. The only reason he's not here is because of Jack Eichel's presence. So, to me, you don't have to go down the road of a Paul Stastny, invest big in a position that you might only need for 6 months. And then maybe he's a third-line center after that. That might be all it takes. Maybe it doesn't even take that. Maybe a week goes by and Phil Housley realizes, hey, Mittelstadt is ready. Like, he's on fire. He's what Eichel was in his rookie season. He could put up 50, 55 points this year. So 803-0550 is the number if you got thoughts on any of that. I know that was a lot. That was free agency. That was Alex Nylander, Casey Mittelstadt. I just got it all off my chest right there. I could go back into the Sam Reinhart discussion we had last night too, but I feel like that would probably be over the top. We'll also have 1 minute of baseball with Kyle Powell coming up shortly. 1 minute exactly, no more. I'll take less.
I'm sure you would.
I certainly would. You could do 10 seconds, and I would be absolutely fine with that. We actually have baseball on in here right now, Oregon State and Arkansas. That's going to have to change. 803-0550 is the phone number if you've got thoughts on any of this. I want to start, though, to really dive into this Penguins trade with the Sabres today because it's an interesting one in that they're taking on another body on the blue line. They're taking on another guy that has a decent salary on the blue line. Look at what you had last year. Josh Georges was a hindrance. He was over $4 million, not giving you much of anything on the ice. It was just kind of a hole on the roster. And really all they've done is they've took the $4+ million that they were spending on Georges to not do much on their blue line. And I kind of feel like now they're spending over $4 million to do the same thing. The only difference it's in two guys with Nathan Beaulieu and now, why am I forgetting his name again? Kyle, the defenseman.
Matthew Hunwick.
Matthew Hunwick. I'm going to write this down. Why am I forgetting Matthew Hunwick? This will be the last time. So you're investing over $4 million in Hunwick and Beaulieu. To me, that's similar to what you had in George's. Is it not? It's over $4 million and not much on your blue line. Not much production. Guys that really aren't going to play on the power play because you've got Dahlin now. You've got Ristolainen. You've got Gouley. You've got Casey Nelson. So really, obviously, the Hunwick part of it is just a salary dump. But then we've got guys talking about maybe he will be like the seventh guy up here. Maybe he'll be your Justin Falk. And that's fine, but I think if you want to really improve this season, you don't want to have a guy like that's contract on your books. And to me, it's even a bigger hindrance next year. Because next year, when he's got $2.25 million, that's when I would really want this team to take a jump. If they show growth this season, I'm going to want them to make a move. And I think a lot of fans will want them to make a move next July 1st that says, okay, the young core is in place. They showed growth. Now we're going to surround them with some really, really good pieces, and we're going to go all in to be a really good team, finally. And you'll have a guy on your blue line that's worth over $2 million. It's really not going to give you a whole lot. Then again, maybe that you can buy out a guy like Bogosian. Like, there are moves that could be made. That's why it's not that big a deal to me. The biggest part of the trade is you're getting Connor Sheary. At a position, left wing, they had nothing. It was just bare. The cupboard had nothing in it. It was Johan Larsson playing out of position last year, Zemgus Girgensson, who really plays all positions, having to play a lot of left wing with Jack Eichel. Over 40% of Jack Eichel's 5-on-5 minutes last year were with Zemgus Girgensson's, and a lot of that was Zemgus on the left wing. Now you don't have to do that as much, because while Sheary is not some superstar, he's a nice player that's scored 20 goals, scored 18 last year in a down year. And I don't really know what accounts for his down year. Because if you've looked up his stats, and by the way, it's Sheary. I already messed that up. Connor Sheary. That's the name, as he says it. He had a real... like, he went from almost a point-a-game player to a 30-point guy last year. 2016-17, he had 23 goals and 30 assists for 53 points in 61 games. 53 points in 61 games. Almost a point-a-game. Last year, 30 points in 79 games. Not like that's a huge drop-off. That's 23 less points. What accounts for that? It could have been there was less ice time with Sidney Crosby because Jake Guentzel was getting that spot, especially towards the playoffs. And he wasn't going to play with Malkin because Malkin's already playing with Carl Hagelin on his left wing. So a lot of that maybe came with third liners. Derek Brassard, Riley Sheahan, whoever else is playing center in Pittsburgh that's not Malkin and Crosby. You're not going to get near the same production. And also, this is not a guy that's ever got top power play minutes. Because while even when he played a lot with Sidney Crosby, he wasn't on that top power play unit. That was Malkin, Kessel, Crosby, Letang, Hornquist. Watch the Penguins in the playoffs. That was always their top power play unit. And the reason I think he might take a jump, he might be closer to the player he was 2 years ago, which was 53 points, is because it's hard for me to see him not playing with Jack Eichel.
So you are part of that school of thought. That was going to be one of my questions.
Yeah, I don't see another guy. As of right now, they could do something in free agency. They could make a trade. They could sign. They could trade for Jeff Skinner. Who knows? Robbie Fabry. He might not be a left winger. To me, there's no one on the team right now that would threaten him to play with Jack Eichel. They're not going to put Zemgus there over him, I would think, to start the year. I think you would want to see a guy with speed like Sheary, playing on Eichel's wing. So I think he's going to probably start the year with Jack Eichel. And to me, if he's playing with a center of that talent, and I think Eichel might be ready for a big jump this year. I always compare it to Nathan MacKinnon. MacKinnon went from like a 55, 60-point player to exploding to 97 last year, and not even a full season. That could happen with Eichel this year. If that happened with Eichel, like, there's no way to me, if Connor Sheary's on his wing, he's not putting up at least 50 points. And then you're talking about a 50-point player that you kind of got for free. Because a third, fourth-round pick, is that's rarely an NHL player. Rarely is. Go ahead, name me a Sabre third or fourth-round pick that's played a lot of games for them. Nick Baptiste is going to be your only answer probably, and he has, what, played 30 games in the NHL, 40 games?
Clark MacArthur.
That is so long ago.
I know.
When do you think Clark MacArthur was drafted?
I don't know. Drafted. I was playing with my 8-year-old NHL, and I saw his name. I was like, oh, he's still in the league. That's why he is fresh in my mind.
He's 33, so he couldn't have been that long ago. It would have been, what, 15 years ago? Clark MacArthur was drafted in 2003.
No kidding, really.
So 2003 is the answer, then, I guess, for like a regular in the NHL with the Sabres from that range. I like the trade. I don't know how you could not like it. They really didn't give up a lot. You gave up a little bit of flexibility on your salary cap, but I have no problem with it. You're trading a mid-round pick. That's a pick that you got you traded Mike Weber for a third-round pick once upon a time. That should really tell you about the value of those picks. Mike Weber, who was at the end of his NHL career, got a third-round pick for you. It was a rental. I think the top six is beginning to take shape. I'm going to pencil in Mittelstadt there for right now because until I see O'Reilly in training camp, I got to think he's dealt. And Jeremy's stuff on him today just furthers that for me. So until, like, they have to prove to me that he's going to be on the roster. Mittelstadt, I would pencil in right now as your second line center. You've got Sherry in there. You've got Reinhardt in there. Put him on Eichel's wing, just on paper. Opozo with Mittelstadt. There's still a hole. There's still another left wing spot in your top six. What avenue do they go for that? They could go free agency. They could go with one of the young guys. We wanted them to do that last year. Remember the talk last offseason? Oh, hopefully Hudson Fashing, Nick Baptiste, or Justin Bailey takes a step up and they can grab one of those top six spots. It didn't happen. This year, we'll probably be talking about the same thing until they bring in another guy that we think that can fill that role. And the young players you're going to be talking about are C.J. Smith, who had a really nice year with the Rochester Americans last year. Real nice year. He's a little bit older, too. He's not a kid. He is 20. I just had it here, and my computer decided to die on me. 23. C.J. Smith's 23 years old. You've got other, I mean, I wouldn't expect these guys to get in there, but Danny O'Regan, Andrew Ogilvy, the kid out of Notre Dame that they sign. I don't think you're expecting Victor Olofsson to go right in there. But like those are the names we're talking about when we're talking about the young players that you would hope could take a step up like that. Danny O'Regan, I might have already mentioned him. And past that, you're talking about Semkus Girgensons again. Or you're talking about Evan Rodriguez. Scott Wilson, if he's even re-signed. They don't have another top six forward right now that you could put in there and say, okay, yeah, he fits. Like, that makes sense. I like that idea. He's a top six forward. Skinner could be that. Maybe if you make a trade with the Blues, like Robbie Fabry. To me, that's the avenue I would go. Whatever you trade O'Reilly for, I would hope you get another winger that you could put in the top six. I think that's a need for this team right now. You needed two of them. I think Sherry can be one. I still think you need another one. And you've got a plethora of defensemen. Double-digit guys. McCabe, Bogosian, Beaulieu, Hunwick. Ristolainen and Dahlin obviously aren't getting traded, but they're going to be on that blue line. Lawrence Pilot, Brendan Gooley, Casey Nelson. There is a ton of defensemen. If you want to trade a guy like Jake McCabe, you can afford to. Because he's $1.6 million. Every team in the league is going to want that. Especially since you still have his rights after the season. And he's a nice defenseman. He's not a top pair guy, but he's not going to kill you on your second pair. And he's going to be really, really good if he's on your third pair in protected minutes. So maybe that's the next move. Maybe it's trading a McCabe. Maybe it's trading maybe a Scandella to acquire another top six forward. Maybe package in a pick. Maybe package in a prospect.
You think it's possible to package in and maybe take a little less to get rid of Bogosian in an O'Reilly deal?
I wonder if they'd be able to do that because we do see...
They'd have to take some salary for sure.
They'd have to take... Maybe. Maybe not, though, because we've seen some salary dumps. I mean, Hunwick today is not a big example of that, but like that's a salary dump.
I think the Grubauer trade is what I'm thinking of. They took less to get rid of the Orpik contract.
I see. Yeah, I could see that. So, but what would that look like?
I have no
idea. Does that look like... Are you trading Alex Nylander away? And I'm down on Alex Nylander. I think a lot of people are, but are you trading away him?
Well, especially if
just to get rid of Bogosian's contract.
I mean, that one defenseman's rumored in there, that Parayko or whatever. I mean,
Parayko.
If he's a right-handed defenseman, like that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? I mean,
I'm glad you brought him up too, because let's just assume for a second this St. Louis thing's legit, and that there is a deal in place with the Blues. What does that look like? It's O'Reilly. I'm not going to assume Nylander would also be in it, but it is interesting he wasn't at development camp. So for now, let's say he's not in it. Let's just say it's O'Reilly. And what are you getting back from the Blues? The one guy I would really want is Colton Parayko, who is a really good young defenseman that puts up points. Like, he would be a top pair defenseman on this team. Maybe second pair, just because Ristolainen and Dahlin are there. He's a real nice piece. That might be a guy you need to sweeten it a little bit, though, because of his age, because of his position, because of his importance on that team. So I don't even know if O'Reilly straight up would get that done. To me, it's not likely, though, that that player is in the trade. To me, you're probably looking at a package like Darren Dreger outlined today, or Pierre LeBrun outlined, one of the two. It was LeBrun. A first-round pick, a prospect, Jordan Kyrou, just to throw a name out there, and a player that could help you right now. Robbie Fabry, just to throw a name out there. Not a great player. I don't love the idea of acquiring him because I think he has a lot of value, but I'm not sure. Like, he hasn't proven it. He's 22 years old and 37 points, 29 points. There's promise, but to me, I would want to be swinging bigger. But if that's the move, that's the guy. Robbie Fabry. That's a player that does help you right now. That's a player that you put in your top six. And then you just let it go from there. Then you're pretty much set. Injuries you'll deal with. But on paper, to start the year, you would have like a real top six. Not Girgensons, Larson, Benoit Pouliot. That's not what you're doing. There is the free agency route as well. My least favorite idea. That's Van Riemsdyk. That's James Neal. David Perron. Michael Grabner. Benoit Pouliot, again. To me, that's what you're looking at if you're going down that route, and you're looking at a contract that you'll probably regret at some point. Because what do you have to pay James Neal? You're probably giving him a few years, and you're giving him over $5 million, at least. The guy made an all-star team last year. He was one of the key players on a team that reached the Stanley Cup. You're going to overpay. That's just how free agency works. You're going to overpay. So if I can get a younger player, and it's age, too, is another factor of that. Van Riemsdyk's 29. James Neal's in his 30s. Dave Perron's in his 30s. Those are the three guys that get brought up the most. You don't want to pay a long-term deal to guys at that age. The best idea is to get players that are young, that you can control contract-wise, and that can give you speed. And you're more likely to get a faster player if he's younger. It's just how it works. So that's the thing I'd be looking at. If I got to fill in that other top six spot, I think the best idea to do that is to find a way to do it while trading Ryan O'Reilly. That's the way to do it to me. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get Kyle's 1 minute of baseball in this hour. We'll also hear from Jason Bottrell, Sabres general manager. That will be coming up next, so stay tuned for that. It's the Nightcap, Jody Biasi, the Powells, and Mike Jafari on a Mike Jafari Wednesday. You're listening to WGR.
The Ryan O'Reilly trade will probably turn that into something that will benefit him with some younger players and prospects and guys that maybe aren't sexy right away, but they're going to fit what he needs. I like the way that I've seen him handle himself in public settings and in speaking. I think that he's sort of held true to his own style.
Jason Mackey from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm a show up in the Bulldog earlier today. If you missed that, on demand at WGR550.com. Buffalo Sabres began development camp today. Rasmus Dahlin on the ice in Buffalo for the first time. First time available to the public. There were pictures of him a couple days ago on the ice, but we're not actually sure if that actually happened. Could have been posing. Who knows? Development camp opened today. Goes through Saturday, ending with the 3-on-3 tournament. Bunch of players sound from today. Brendan Gooley, Rasmus Dahlin included in that. You'll hear from them later in the show. Assistant General Manager Steve Greeley also spoke. You'll also hear from him. First, though, let's hear from the Buffalo Sabres General Manager Jason Botterill talking about development camp and also the Ryan O'Reilly rumors, as well as the trade today, Connor Sherry and Matthew Hunwick to the Sabres for a conditional fourth-round pick that can become a third if Sherry scores 20 goals or 40 points, or the Sabres end up trading Hunwick. Here's the Sabres general manager from today at Harbor Center.
Could you talk about acquiring Sherry and how the trade came about and your thoughts on the two players that you got?
Well, it was a situation where we were looking to improve our even strength scoring. We knew that we had to try to get a little bit of scoring from our wingers. And what I've always liked about Connor's game is he's played in playoff situations, had success winning two Stanley Cups in Pittsburgh. I think especially at even strength, creates a lot of chances out there. I'm very excited about bringing him to the organization. Matt Hunwick's a player that I followed closely over the years, just with the ties at University of Michigan. How he handles himself as a pro. Know his mobility on the blue line, I think, will help out our group. So very excited to get the two players into our group here.
Is there something to Sherry's background, you know, a guy who signs an ATO and does what he's able to do over, you know, the three seasons to make that jump from where he began?
Well, I think it was being a part of Pittsburgh's organization there. It was a success story, an AHL contract, a kid who comes in, performed very well in the AHL playoffs, and then gets an opportunity to step into the National Hockey League and play with skilled players and help them win Stanley Cups. And that's what gets us excited about our situation here, is that he can come in with, whether it's Jack, Ryan, Casey, can play with one of our offensive centermen, I think, finish off chances from them, but also get in on the forecheck, get pucks to our centermen.
On paper, at least at the end of June, do you think you've got solved the answer if he plays left wing with Jack?
Look, until players get out on the ice, you're never going to know that for sure. And we're always looking to add to our group, especially on the wing, to add more skill. And being a part of some talented centermen in Pittsburgh, those guys are always in flux. They're always in motion. And that's what gets us excited about our group here right now is, you know, you have Sam on the wing who can play middle. You have, obviously, Jack, Ryan, Casey, so that we have talented centermen throughout our group there. And you bring a winger in, if the chemistry doesn't work with one player, there's always other opportunities there.
But how significant is it simply that he does have the experience with Sid?
Oh, I think it's great. He knows how to play in pressure situations against other teams' top defenders, top players. We've talked a lot about it here, just bringing in players who have playoff experience. It's why we were interested in bringing in Scandella and Pominville last year. Bringing in both Hunwick and Connor, who have played in playoff games, I think is very key for our group.
You've obviously got a pass with these two guys that you're getting. What did you see with Ben that thought that made you think it would be a good fit here?
Well, I would just say with Matt, I do have a little bit of a pass, just knowing from Michigan days. I can't say that I have a real tight relationship from with him, but I've always been impressed from afar how he's handled himself, how he's taken care of himself off the ice, and, you know, a late-round pick who found a way to play in the National Hockey League. And with Connor, just an undrafted kid who goes through the process and just found a way to, you know, when people were saying he couldn't do it, he found a way to become an American Hockey League All-Star. Then he found a way to get to the National Hockey League and found a way to find a way to help Pittsburgh win Stanley Cups. And that sort of determination and compete and work ethic is something that we're looking to bring into our group.
Do you think that with a guy like Hedman, he had a strong and it seems like a young guy always has that sort of older guy. Do you envision Hunwick being that guy for Rasmus Dahlin?
Well, look, I think the good thing that I like about our group is that we have some great people in our locker room who are good pros who have been through it all. And it's to me, in the situation, leadership nowadays, mentorship, it's never just one player. I've said it before, the days of Mark Messier, I think, are gone. It has to be a group effort. And having players such as Scandella or Bogosian or Oposo or Pominville in our lineup, I think just helps anyone, all of our young players, including a young player like Rasmus.
You're looking at UFA Day, obviously. How busy do you remain on trades?
Well, like we've always said the last couple of weeks, it's very difficult to predict if something's going to happen and materialize. We continue to be in conversations with different players with the UFA talking period and different teams. But we're obviously excited about the move today just to help our team. We feel we're a stronger team today.
Do you think it's less likely that Ryan O'Reilly is going to be traded or at this point?
Look, it's that you have a ton of rumors out there right now on Ryan, and I think a lot of them are very creative. And I would just say from day one, we've been very happy with Ryan being a part of our group. And we've said before that it's no surprise that teams are calling him. He has a great reputation throughout the National Hockey League, and especially what he's accomplished in the National Hockey League. So I understand why people call on it, but the validity of a lot of the rumors are simply untrue.
Do you believe you had a deal at the draft for Ryan?
No. No.
Jason Botterill literally laughing off the talk about a potential trade at the draft. That was yesterday. Eric Engels from Sportsnet reported that the Sabres, Islanders, and Canadiens were close on a three-way trade on draft night. Botterill literally laughing it off. Now, let's hear from, let's change it up a little bit. Let's listen to Rasmus Dahlin, Sabres' first overall pick. He spoke to the media as well after his first practice at development camp today at Harbor Center.
Long time no see.
Yeah.
How was your first day? Take us through it, and how did you feel out there?
Awesome. Yeah, it was a fun training with all the crowds and all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty special, but fun.
Were you surprised how many people were out there?
Yeah, I was surprised.
Is it fun when they're out there cheering for you?
Yeah, there haven't been a crowd that cheered for me when I scored a goal in the training, so that was pretty special too, but yeah, it was fun.
Did you get pumped up? Like, did it kind of help you score some goals, knowing they were screaming for you?
Yeah, actually, I haven't scored that many goals for I don't know how many years, but yeah, today I scored a lot of goals, and that was fun.
What was yesterday like for you, to go around with Jibbo Pro and meet some of the corporate sponsors? What was that experience like for you?
It was awesome to meet all the sponsors. Was awesome to get to know them, and yeah, to get a relationship for the future. So that was awesome and so much fun.
Did you like meeting Gilbert? I mean, that's history. I mean, he was the first guy that was the number one pick. Did you enjoy meeting Gilbert Perreault?
Yeah, it was a great guy, funny guy, and of course a legend. So yeah, it was awesome yesterday.
You've filmed for quite some time. I mean, you got a taste of what Buffalo was like back at the Combine, and then seeing the crowd here for your press conference. What does today do for you, seeing all the fans here? And does it give you a taste of what might be coming in September and October for you in some ways?
Yeah, for like this 4 days I've been here, everyone is so friendly. And yeah, I wish all the best for me. So. It's been amazing here. I love it. So, yeah, I can't wait to get this season started, like I've said how many times. So, yeah, I'm just super excited.
Your roommate Brendan Gooley's been through this two or three times. What can you learn from him that he's been through all this before?
Yeah, of course, he's knowing a lot of this kind of camp and yeah, he's comfortable, and he's a great leader too. He's a great guy and a great player on the ice. So I learned a lot from him. Yeah, so look at him, and it's gonna be good.
Does it make it easier being able to room with the guy and ask, you know, a development camp veteran like him questions to get more familiar with things?
Yeah, of course. Like I said, he's knowing what this is all about, and. Yeah, of course. I'm asking him a few questions, and he's having the answers.
How important are these 4 days to you, knowing you get to finally be out here with the team?
It's been a busy time, but yeah, like today, finally I get on the ice with all the guys, and to get back to the real hockey and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's right now I'm just enjoying.
Have you had a second to just kind of take a breath and kind of put in perspective what the last 2 weeks have kind of meant to you?
Not right now, actually, to be honest. Probably coming that thoughts when I'm coming home to Sweden. So right now we're just focusing on the camp.
Your parents having fun here? Your family and your parents?
Yeah, they're enjoying this time.
Is it a little bit of a relief? I don't know if relief is the right word, but to be on the ice today after all of the hoopla of the last 2 weeks, just kind of get back to the hockey?
Yeah, it's like finally get back on the ice to get back to the hockey thoughts and all that kind of stuff. So finally back on the ice.
When you get back home, what's the first thing you want to do when you get back home this week?
Meet all my friends and have a great time with them.
Did you get a chance to watch Sweden this morning in the World Cup?
Yeah, that was the best feeling. So we won the group and now it's playoffs.
Did you play some?
It seemed to have been cut abbreviately short, but that was Rasmus Dahlin with Paul Hamilton and other media members after session two of development camp at Harbor Center this afternoon. We have a couple minutes here, and Joe has vacated the area again. So you know what we do with these golden moments during the nightcap? We talk a little bit of baseball when we can fit it in. No one's here to tell us no. I've got Mike here tonight, so I have backup. Victor's smiling away, so he's kind of...
I conveniently cannot find the Kyle timer either, so...
The Kyle timer.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk some Jason Worth, I think, in my minute of baseball.
Oh, okay.
He retired today.
Mm.
Yeah. Gave me some good memories over the years. Did you watch any of...
I just think beard when
you
I think Worth.
You think grizzly...
Yeah. I just think of
man
that.
Of the mountains
exactly.
Beard.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
Decent player, though. Good hitter.
Absolutely. He when they say players have that prime, he lived and died by the prime. He made a 7-year contract with Washington out of his prime in Philadelphia. 24 homers, I think, in 2008 when they won the World Series in Philadelphia. 36 in 2009. 27 in 2010.
Certainly proved his worth.
He did. Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. Mm-hmm. He did prove his worth.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-oh, Joe's here. We're
Joe's
trouble.
Here. We were talking Rasmus Dahlin the entire time.
Yeah, he looks
time.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scoring some goals.
I'm having some phone issues.
Mm. Are you having phone issues?
I'll talk more about that on the other side of the break.
Okay.
And we got to do the baseball timer.
You guys could actually help me with this. And yeah, we're going to do 1 minute of baseball with Kyle Powell that's coming your way next.
We got halfway through it, but.
Really?
We didn't.
No, that's.
We sort of did.
That means you only get 30 seconds.
Way to blow us in, Kyle.
That's. You win some, you lose some.
Let's take a call before we get to the break. Let's go to Mark in Kenmore. Mark, you're on the nightcap. What's going on?
Yeah, hello, guys. I love the trade that the Buffalo Sabres made today. I think Sherry is going to help them enormously. I think he'll definitely help the top six. But I want to ask you about a player. I want to ask you about a player that almost made this team last year, had a very strong training camp, but nobody's really talked about him at all. Cliff Poole, where do you think he fits in? I think it's either Rochester or Buffalo. I don't know if they send him back to juniors again. I don't even know if he's eligible. But
I do believe he is still eligible. He's definitely, I mean, he's the perfect fit for what Botterill wants and what Phil Housley wants. He has speed and he scores. He was not at development camp today. I believe he has an injury. I'm not sure. I'll find out if he still has junior eligibility. I would think they would want to send him back to juniors, though, for one more year. He signed his entry-level contract, but generally, I mean, he signed it pretty early. He's 20, so maybe he would go to Rochester. I'm not sure. I'll get an answer for you on that. Mark, thanks for the call. We'll do 1 minute of baseball with Kyle Powell as well coming up next. More Sabre sound coming throughout the night. 803-0550 is the phone number if you got any thoughts on how the Sabres can fill another opening in their top six, as well as what you think they should do with Ryan O'Reilly. It's the Nightcap, Jody Biasi, the Powells, and Mike Jafari on WGR.
The sense that I get is that Jason Botterill is looking for a first-round pick, a top prospect, and a second-round pick as part of the return or the return for Ryan O'Reilly. And I think that, you know, that package changes a little bit if the deal happens after July 1st.
You know, the more and more I'm listening to these potential packages coming back for Ryan O'Reilly, all I'm thinking about is how Jeff Skinner makes so much sense for the Sabres in a deal. 26 years old, always putting up production, perfect age for it. You got to sign him, sure, but he's not aged. He's it just makes so much sense to me. He fills a spot on your left wing. He would become your immediate best left winger, and it would not even be close at a position that you're super thin at. Maybe that's the deal that could be in place. I mean, the Hurricanes have been open about it, that Jeff Skinner's been on the trade block, and he's still on the team as of right now. So I don't know what else they could be waiting for. I don't know what other team's been in on Jeff Skinner. I haven't seen a lot on him over the past couple days. But when I'm listening to Darren Dreger there talk about a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and a really high-end prospect, sure, the high-end prospect intrigues me, but I don't want to be waiting 3-4 years for some mid-first-round pick to come in and maybe be a decent player. Or maybe never make the league. If I'm flipping one of my top assets, I think that they're in a position where I almost would only do it if I'm getting a young player that helps me right now. That's tough to do because I don't know other than Skinner who's out there that's like that. But sometimes there's players out there you just never hear about. Players get traded that you would have never thought would get traded. Remember when Seth Jones got traded for Ryan Johansson? That came out of left... The Johansson part of it wasn't surprising. But Seth Jones getting traded came out of left field. That's a guy you would have never thought was available. So there are players out there right now that we're not thinking about because we don't think they're available that might be available. Panarin's the other guy that's young like that and super productive, but I feel like he would be less likely to re-sign if the Sabres were to trade for him. All right, let's do 1 minute of baseball. Here is Kyle Powell.
All right, lowest ERA in Major League Baseball since May 19th. I need your guesses.
Justin Verlander.
I'm sorry, I should have been more specific.
Oh, wait, I have to start the timer
now. The team with the lowest team ERA in baseball since May 19th, last 5 weeks.
The New York Mets.
New York Giants.
Wow. Incredible about 70 years ago. No.
The Padres.
The Padres, no.
The Reds.
Wrong.
Will I get
Minnesota
this?
Twins.
You'll get it eventually. You'll run out of teams.
I won't think of all the teams. The Expos.
Yes.
So the Nationals.
No.
Brewers.
Not the Brewers.
Are you going to waste your entire minute here with us guessing?
No, I'm not.
Cardinals.
Then you might want to do it soon.
Tampa Bay Rays.
Okay. Oh, okay. I think
conveniently,
I know where
this is going. On May 19th, they started employing the opener. The opener. The opposite of a closer. They've been having bullpen arms throw two to three games a week in order to avoid a starter facing a lineup for the third time. And since then, they were eighth in baseball in ERA with a 4.45 ERA on May 19th. Since then, they are first.
Nope. That's your minute.
I didn't hear the question. I was just naming teams.
He got you delayed on the clock as well at the beginning. That's it. It's all he gets. All right. Top of the hour coming up. You will have Kyle in sports. If he wants to throw it into his update, maybe he'll do that. So the nightcap, Jody Biasi on WGR.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.